One of the most disturbing elements of the Prohibition War is how it's made police the enemy of otherwise law-abiding cannabis consumers. Fortunately, one group of police officers knows the futility of Prohibition and reaches out to educate the community and current law enforcement. Today, the Russ Belville Show visits with another speaker from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition with one clear message. Cops say legalize drugs.
Welcome back, everyone. 32 after the hour. Joining us here for our Cops Say Legalize Drugs segment, we've got Kyle Kazan from the great state of California. Kyle, how are you doing?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Well, I'm fantastic, and I was wondering maybe if you could tell our listeners a little bit about your background in law enforcement before we start getting to the subject of legalization.
Sure. I was a police officer for 5 years in the city of Torrance, California, which is the sixth largest city in Los Angeles County. And I was a drug warrior. I'm a drug recognition evaluator, court certified. I'm also a gang expert. And two different 6 month periods, I led the department in felony and misdemeanor arrests. So I was hooking and booking, and most of what I was doing was fighting the drug war, and that included cannabis.
Wow. So it sounds like you were good at what you did. At what point in this odyssey of yours did you recognize the futility of what's happening in the drug war?
You know, one of the things when you're that's a great question. When you're a police officer, they call it making your bones, and which means getting a reputation as a good cop. And Torrance has a reputation of being an aggressive department where they're out there patrolling and looking to find, you know, people before they steal a car and you're chasing it. You know, hopefully you can catch them a little early. And so I was head down focused on being the best police officer I could, which means getting statistics. But towards the end of my, 3-4 years, I had informants. I got to know them. They became friends. They would ask me, hey, Kyle, can you take me to drug treatment? I'm like, I got jail. We have a pretty draconian way of dealing with the drug war. And so towards the end, it was just, I slowed down my arrests and I just felt like, we're just processing people through courts. It's just a game that we're not winning, and it's an unwinnable war. And then after I left police work and had my own company, took a business approach, I was introduced to Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. And, I'm a libertarian, registered libertarian, so I take a little bit outside the box already. And when I heard what they had to say, I said, that's exactly right. And when I saw the statistics that backed it up, I'm like, you know what? We really must go a different direction.
So did you find then in policing, in the police force, that there was this kind of, I don't know if it's a divide, but you'd have, say, some of the officers who are new enough that they're all dedicated and gung-ho for the drug war, and then the older officers with some experience that got to where you were, where they're kind of disenfranchised from it, it doesn't really see it working. And does that cause a conflict within the forces between the gung-hos and the kind of the jaded?
Yeah, another good question. I hadn't thought about it that way. What I would say is, you have the young pups that are going to try and prove to the old dogs, that, hey, I am a good police officer. I'm worthy of being out here. I'm worthy of respect. And, I'm not just going to get a cup of coffee and kind of just wait for my radio calls. I'm out here looking to protect my community. They're going to enforce laws on the books. And so, but I will tell you, old dogs and some young pups came up to me as it became clear several years ago when I was on CNN and Fox News that, publicly that I am opposed to drug war and pro-legalization of all drugs, but right now marijuana is the hot button here in California. A lot of people took me aside and thanked me and said they're on board and they hope the laws get changed, it's just not their job. A few people, old dogs and young pups, looked at me as a bit of a heretic.
Hmm. Yeah, I can imagine. We're speaking with Kyle Kazan, a former Torrance police officer in California with Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. And a quick reminder, if you're looking for a great speaker in your neck of the woods to talk about this with the authority of a background in law enforcement against prohibition has a ton of speakers. Just look up leap.cc, leap.cc, and you can find them. Kyle, I'm also curious, you'd mentioned in your background that you were a gang expert, you worked on gang task forces, and one of the things we hear from the people that are resisting marijuana legalization is, oh, marijuana is not a big part of the gangs anyway, and they'll just move on to harder drugs and kidnappings and other sorts of crime. Do you think that legalizing marijuana is going to have an effect on the gang situation in Southern California?
It already has. I mean, it's not fully legal, recreational, and right now there's a bit of a game that has to be played where you go to a doctor. So if you want to just recreationally use it, you have to play a game. But the fact that you can go, and you can go to a place that's regulated most of the time, you know, most of the pot shops are regulated and dispensaries, it has cut way down on, you know, my company manages apartment complexes, and we still have some drug dealing out of it, which, you know, is never safe for anybody. But pot, that's not really, I mean, that's a lot safer now. It will be a lot safer should the ballot initiative pass in November.
Yeah, and that I'm glad you mentioned that. The Adult Use of Marijuana Act looks as though it will make the ballot for November. And there are some out there that are complaining about it. They fear it's a takeover by billionaires or it's going to wreck medical marijuana. But in your estimation, what do you think are the positives of the Adult Use of Marijuana Act?
You know, I haven't read the bill, but I can tell you almost anything compared to what we have here. I mean, I did read, I forgot, it was Indiana's, which I thought was a little bit silly. What I have read of this, and again, I haven't read the whole thing, it looks pretty okay, and it is kind of protecting the smaller grower. But again, we're still arresting people. We're still using the county crime labs to test the green leafy substance that are being booked in on even infractions now. So we're still using incredible resources because cannabis is not legalized and until we regulate
that. Yeah, that, you make a good point, because a lot of people will say, oh, well, you know, California's got medical and California's decrim up to an ounce, so why bother? But you make that point that they still have to test the green leafy substance.
Well, let me be clear. One thing that I say when I go out and I speak, and whether it's, you know, whether your bent is more liberal, whether your bent's more conservative or moderate, it's the same thing. You'll be outraged. Particularly, I found women when I use this analogy, and I say, you know, you go anywhere in the state of California, and two officers, an officer goes up and they write a ticket for marijuana. They don't have a card, what have you. They book it, and because you have a right to a speedy trial, they've got to get that into the crime lab, and so it goes into, down here, be the L.A. County Crime Lab. 2 hours later, there's a rape in that same, it's called a parking lot. And, you know, the good officers take the person to the hospital. They perform what's known as a rape kit. And they book in the physical sample into the L.A. County Crime Lab looking for a DNA check, right? Right now in California or in L.A. County, it's that part of the process is averaging 2 years.
Mm.
So for 2 years, you're sitting on something that you could quickly identify potentially, and this happens regularly often, a named suspect to go take off the street and not wait 2 years where you can continue to victimize people, all because we're tying up our crime lab with cannabis and just utter nonsense.
Mm. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. Now, we're looking, like you said, the hot button issue right now is legalization of marijuana. But you mentioned your apartment complexes, and there's still drug dealing going on there. And a lot of us are advocating that, look, we need to legalize all drugs so we can take those drug dealers out of the apartment complex. But when you look at the polls, you know, people are about 56% for marijuana. They're no higher than 10% for any other drug. What would you say to convince the people that are okay with marijuana legalization that they need to start thinking about other drug legalization?
You know, I would say, go to the leap.cc website, look at some of the statistics, or look at the statistics, and I don't think you'd find anybody advocating for drugs, like drug use I say, hey, you should go out and try heroin. I think you'll find, and my fellow LEAP speakers and I are saying, there's an inevitability that people are going to get their hands on drugs. And so do we take a pragmatic approach? Do we take a look at what causes the least amount of harm? And can we educate a free populace to make good decisions for them? And even if you say, well, you know, I still don't know, it's like, okay, do you want police officers to put on their badge and their gun and go out each night to try and stop you from harming you? And I'm not talking about driving while under the influence, which I think you should be taken to jail every night, every day that you know someone wants to do that. I'm just talking about you're ingesting something that's not good for you. Do you want the police to be arresting you and using up precious resources for that?
Very good point. And there's so many other things out there that are bad for us that we ingest. We don't have cops pulling us over for Big Macs and Slurpees, you know.
you know what? That's the natural slippery slope, right? If you're willing to save somebody from themselves, where do you stop?
Right, exactly. So, Kyle, before we let you go here, I know you've got to get to a meeting pretty quick. Do you have any contact information if people would like to get in touch with you or have you speak somewhere there in Southern California?
You know, always happy to speak. I'm a pretty busy guy, like some of my other fellow LEAP speakers, and that's where we kind of work in concert with each other. And I like to think I'm the best LEAP speaker, but, you know, I've heard these other people speak, like, and I'm sure you've talked to Jim Gray, Steve Downing, Diane Goldstein. They're fantastic. So if you just go to the leap.cc website and just make a request, they get it right to us. Just like, you know, today, I was booked earlier this morning. And so if we can respond quickly, and you know, I certainly will, and would love to meet and discuss this, particularly with people that are either on the fence or against legalization of drugs, be happy to have a nice debate about it.
All right. Kyle Kazan from Torrance, California. Thanks so much for joining us here on the Russ Belville Show. We appreciate your service and good luck with this Adult Use of Marijuana Act getting on the ballot.
Thank you for having me, Russ. Bye.
All right. That's our Cops Say Legalized Drugs segment. We feature former law enforcement every other Thursday here on the Russ Belville Show. And we've got a large archive of LEAP speaker interviews as well that we'll be putting forth in our upcoming Radical Russ VIP program. That's right, we're still getting it developed, but soon your VIP membership will give you access to over 5 years worth of prior interviews and segments. Do your cannabis research with the Russ Belville Show. We'll help you every way we can. We're back with a radical rant in 2 minutes.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.